May the Lord bless you greatly, all of you, my beloved brothers and sisters of different parts of the world. We can say that since in over 70 countries, there are congregations, small, but of great hearts for the Lord. And the Lord looks at the hearts. So for all of you, a very warm greeting. And I reflect upon all of the testimonies. I reflect on everything that God does. You may be seated. I reflect on all that God does in his church, in the way that he manifests himself, the way that he glorifies himself, glorifies in the church. If we go back in time and we remember the Gospels, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ was always highlighting the work of God, the work of the Father, and he said that the Father was glorifying himself in him, that the Lord was doing works, wonders, signs, miracles, manifesting himself in great ways and letting his name be known through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always teaching all of this because he needed to let that living God that is powerful, who manifests himself, to be known. And we see how the Lord always glorified God and said to the Father, you are the one who does the works. The works are of God. And I also remember that in antiquity, the prophets of God, as it was Eli, Elijah, Elisha, all of those of you who have read the Bible and read the story of Elisha, and Elijah was always near him, and Elijah didn't see death because he was moved and transported, and he takes the cape that he had, but he also started to do all of the works that God would do through Elijah. And Elisha began to prophesy and to speak of God to the people of Israel at that time, in that era. And God used Elisha to speak to the kings and to speak to the people and to reprimand so that they may have that fear of God and that they may obey and submit themselves to God's will and God's word. And many of the people, many kings were unbelievers and they were stubborn. They did not want to believe, but they turned away and veered away towards other gods, the gods of the nations, other religious beliefs, and they did not want to believe in the true God. Even though God manifested himself through the prophets and did many and worked many works and wonders, and he told them that he existed and he was the truth. And that is what history tells us, that Elijah died and he was buried. And it says that there was some time that went by and there were men who were carrying their dead to go and bury them. And when they were walking toward the path to bury their dead, they saw armies that were in the midst of war. And when they saw that army and the soldiers, they were afraid. They were worried so much that they ran and they threw the body that they had at that moment. They threw that body in that place where Elijah was also buried. There, they threw his body there and they went to go hide from the danger that was around them at that moment. And that person who was dead, who they threw in that same burial place as Elijah, he resurrected. They thought to themselves and said that Elijah had so much power that even after being dead, he was working miracles. But God didn't want to teach us that. That wasn't the experience that those people experienced, seeing that their dead was resurrected. just by throwing him in the same burial place as Elisha. There is a deeper teaching there, and God is showing us many things. God was showing everyone that Elisha was a man of God, and that everything that Elijah had preached, had taught, had prophesied, all that he had done in his life in with the people of Israel was the truth, and that we must believe in that which he had left written, we could say. Everything that he had taught was the truth, that Elijah was a man of God. He was a man of God, that God exists. And he was showing that that was the truth of God. Almost as if to say, Elijah existed because he is part of the truth of God. Elijah was a man of God because it is the truth of God, because God said, they are my servants. He used them. He sent them to prophesy, to preach, to teach. And that was the word of God. That was the way of that time. That was the truth of the Lord. Once again, I repeat. So today, the same thing happens. Today, it's not that Sister Maria Luisa works miracles. It's not that Sister Maria Luisa has so many powers or does so many works and wonders. No. It is that Maria Luisa is a woman that God spoke to her about many years ago and said, help me to choose the souls for the kingdom, and I will teach you the doctrine, and I will be with you, and I will back you, because I am going to teach, and I'm going to open my church, my congregation. My church will be great and big. And when we were in Colombia, the Lord spoke to us and said that here in Colombia, the church will be great as well as in the world. And I will be the one who will be convincing people. I will convert them. I will be in charge of gathering people and bringing them to where they should be, in the place where I'm going to manifest myself. That's where they will be. Therefore, Maria Luisa, what she did was believe, obey, and to submit herself in the hands of God, and to be an instrument in the hands of God. And when people have many dreams, because I know that there are hundreds of dreams and revelations that people have had with Sister Maria Luisa, I know that what God is telling people, believe in what Maria Luisa is preaching. Believe in what she is teaching, because that is the truth of God. That is the truth of God. That this is the path. This is the congregation of God. This is the church of our God. That is why God doesn't use another person to put in dreams for people, but this is the person that God has placed in order to form this church, this congregation, where we are happy. Therefore, that is the teaching, so that people may not go and twist or misinterpret things. It is God who glorifies himself in his instruments. That is why God calls men and women believers to prepare themselves, because they must be prophets, because they must be evangelists, because they must be pastors and teachers and apostles. And they must prepare themselves, because God has made a calling to thousands. And they must prepare themselves for this work, for this duty. And one day, the same thing will happen to you, where people will dream of you in the work that you are doing in the church. Because God does not want, he is not highlighting the human being. What he is doing is highlighting his word, his power. God manifests himself in human beings. God uses human beings in order to manifest himself. He does not manifest himself as a spirit, or someone heard a spirit or a voice that spoke and no one knows what it is or who it is. Or someone is healed, but no one knows who healed them, because they were on a wheelchair, but now they're walking. They don't know who did this. That is why God teaches his doctrine, uses human beings. From the very beginning, God has done it. in order for him to manifest himself, to show people that we must believe him, submit ourselves to him, worship and please him. That is what God wants. That is that mystery. So yes, thanks be to God. The brother says, the Lord uses her. Yes, thank you, Lord. God has used me as an instrument, as a bridge that people may know God. Because what we teach here, what we speak, is given by the Holy Spirit of God. Our God is the one who is teaching us all of these things, even though they are written here, but we also have to have that understanding, and that understanding cannot be given or had by anybody, but only given by God. And thanks be to God. Thanks to God that he manifests himself in this way and he allows himself to be known. So that is the truth of God in that way in which he manifests himself. In order for us to know and what God is doing with all of you, those of you who are here for the first time, those who are new, what God wants is to convince you that he exists, that he manifests himself, and we must worship him and look for everlasting life, and that this is the church, the congregation in which God has chosen. God has chosen this place where you can congregate and that you may be happy and you may also have everlasting life. That is the objective and the goal that God has when he begins working all of his miracles and people have dreams. That is the marvelous thing, and we give thanks to God because all of these things are Bible teachings. They are all there, and we are not going to come out of the Bible and try to invent other things, but it is something that God has given people, and now we must continue analyzing and reflecting so that we may have that spiritual growth, that we may have our salvation, and also have many people also ahead of us with this, and that all may get to that knowledge of the truth of God. May God bless you. Let us sing. We are all going to be singing our hymn. And, well, you know, I excuse myself if perhaps it takes a while, but we are going to be singing here hymn 79, which is titled, The Way is Narrow. The way is narrow, but with the help of God, everything is easy. Hymn 79.
Ya no es mi vida cual antes fue. Borrado el pecado está, hoy canto feliz, aleluya, y voy feliz al dulce hogar. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. Yo la sigo por las huellas de Jesús. Mi vida fue cruel desilusión, ni amigo constante hallé. Luz y muy grato consuelo hallé en mi buen Salvador. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. Yo la sigo por las huellas de Jesús. Ya no más luto ni cruel pesar, cual nubes huyeron ya. Al cielo yo miro gozoso, sin fin. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. La senda es muy estrecha, mas la sigo. Yo la sigo por las huellas de Jesús.
Glory be to my Lord, and it will be so. We will follow that way that is narrow. We will continue with the help of our God. Blessed and worshiped is our God. Thank you, Lord, for your love, because the Lord has had so much mercy and has called us, and we are here in his presence. We are in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, prepare yourselves to receive his blessings today. Let us open up our Bibles in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are reading the books, the epistles or the letters of the Apostle Paul to those cities that were evangelized. And we have found spiritual wealth. We feel very happy when we open up our Bibles. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 22. And it says here in verse number 1, but perhaps I might go back to previous verses because the apostle is speaking here. He is highlighting our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the one sent from God, who God sent for salvation. And God placed him above all principalities, all things he placed him. So here in verse 19 of chapter 1, I go backwards, it says, the exceeding greatness of his power, of the power of the Lord toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. It says that God gave his power, his greatness, all to Jesus Christ, his son, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. So the one who was promised, that God had promised of through the prophets in antiquity from Moses, God had spoken these things. And in 21, far above all principality. So the Father placed the Lord above all principality and power and might and dominion. He placed him above all and every name that is named, not only in this age, this physical, material, in this, on this globe, but also in that which is to come. He placed him above all. And he put all things under his feet, under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the Father did. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. He used the Lord Jesus Christ as head above all things, to and the head of the body of the church. And in verse 23, which is his body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, is his church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That God used the Lord Jesus Christ as the head, and his body is the church. And in chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you he made alive. God the Father gave life to you all who were dead in trespasses and sins. A person, man or woman, who is living constantly in sin, all the time living in sin, it says that they are dead for God. But when this person repents and they listen to the word of God and they repent and they change and accept the Lord, they want to continue and follow his way, it says that they resurrect for everlasting life, which is what the Father did through our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And here, before we continue reading here what the apostle was speaking of, our Lord Jesus Christ, I would like for us to read a few verses, because there are many that there are in the Old Testament that speaks of this wondrous promise that the Father would place he would be the precursor of the Messiah. He would place him above all and the head, that principal person, that head. And let us go to Isaiah, where we're going to find that wondrous promise. And I say that there are many places where we find this promise, but for now, we are going to be reading here in Isaiah chapter 42. We are going to be reading quickly from verse 1 to verse 9, the promise for the future. We went back in time here in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, prophet of the Old Testament, prophet in antiquity for the people of old, for the people of antiquity. But the future is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living that future now. For about 2,000 years now, we have been living that future. So let us read the promises that the Lord made at that time. In verse 1 of chapter 42 of the book of Isaiah, "Behold my servant, behold my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who has been sent, the one that God would send, the precursor, the advocate, the intercessor, the angel of light, the King of Kings, the head of nations." Well, he has many different names, the Lord. "Behold my servant whom I uphold," the Lord would say, "my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Here is the marvelous promise that not only justice or the blessing would be for the people of Israel, but for all of the nations, for all of those who believed in him, for all of the nations. All of the nations had a right to be saved, to have the blessings of God, to have everlasting life. It wasn't just the people of Israel as it was at one point. Here, the promise was now for all. Glory be to the Lord. It was covering the people of Israel, but also the Gentiles. All of the other nations were called Gentiles. And it says here in verse 2, of this person, the servant of the Father, he will not cry out nor raise his voice. In other words, he would be submitting himself to everything that the people would do. He would submit to it with humility, with meekness. It says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. For example, a bruised reed or a smoking flax. It is something that gives light, but when you blow the fire out, you just see a little embers there. And a reed is a reed that is broken and split. It could be of a bush and it will be split, but it won't be completely broken. It would just be split. And so someone comes and might break that. They see that it's split, so they rip it out because they say that it's not full. And they try to straighten it up and they wander it and they see that it straightens up again. And they say that that was the spiritual life of men and women of that time. And that was the situation that the Lord Jesus Christ found. Everything that he lived, the suffering of many people, and he had so much mercy of all. But they were bruised reeds or smoking flax because they were between yes and no. They were looking for God, but also not looking for God, as if they didn't know God, but they have heard of the law and they did not fulfill it. So they were in this place where their spiritual life was faltering to the point where they were about to be dead, because as you take away that bruised reed or quench that smoking flax, that person would be dead spiritually. So they were in between. They say, well, yes, God exists, but he doesn't manifest in my life, so I don't know if I have him or not. I am like that bruised reed that is split, or that flax that is still smoking and still has ember, but isn't completely quenched. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ found all of the spiritual lives that were in this circumstance. And the Lord helped, for example, when there was a woman who was brought to him and she was caught in adultery. She was surprised in the act of adultery. And the law says that they must be stoned. So the Lord Jesus Christ had mercy of this woman because she was a bruised reed. She was not dead nor alive. She was in sin, but at the same time, in her heart, she was trusting and hoping in God. That was that bruised reed. That woman was that bruised reed, and that woman was also that smoking flax. So the Lord had mercy, and he didn't finish her off and destroy her and took that bruised reed and was with everyone else saying, we must stone her because she's an adulterer. But the Lord tells them, all of you, who were going to be the one to throw the first stone? Whoever did not have sin, throw the first stone. And no one. It says that the Lord looked down on the floor to see who would do this first. But they all left. And when the Lord looked up and looked around, he said to the woman, where are all of those who accused you? And the woman said, everyone left. No one was left behind. And he said, I will not condemn you, but I will tell you, do not sin again and go. Do not sin. What did the Lord do? He straightened up that bruised reed so that she may continue and that she may gain life again. And he did not quench that smoking flax, but he left those embers there so that it may burn once again, that flame may burn. And that is that bruised reed and that smoking flax. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ did, not just with her, but with many. He gave them many opportunities and he said, go and sin no more. I forgive you. I forgive your sins. To many, the Lord forgave the sins at that time. That is why he was criticized. How could it be possible that a human being would be forgiving sins? And all of these things happened. All of this was going to happen and be done by the servant of the Father. And it says here in verse 4, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands, which are the Gentiles, shall wait for his law. The Gentiles. They shall wait for his law. Thanks be to God. We today consider ourselves as Gentiles, and we are enjoying of this promise of our Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why God lives. He exists. And it says in verse 5, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Once again, he continues to repeat this promise that he would be light, that the Lord would be light among all the nations, within all of the nations around the world would have the right for salvation. They would have a right to be happy and to be with God. Blessed be the Lord. And it says in verse 7, to open blind eyes in a spiritual sense. The Lord did all of the miracles, he physically as well. He gave sight to the blind and those who were ill physically, but he also gave sight to people, for people to understand his path. He also opened our eyes, thanks be to him, to bring out prisoners from the prison. Yes, we were prisoners of the devil. We were prisoners of the devil. The devil had us bound and chained, and the Lord has freed us. He has freed us. We are free because he is blessing us. And there are many who are in prison, not in the physical prison, but that spiritual prison. They are bound. They live in slavery, in the slavery of addictions, of alcoholism, of liquor, of sin, all of the different types of sins, the hundreds of sins that exist, and they live there. They are bound. All of these people that are bound with these sinful tendency, their flesh that makes them sin, they are prisoners. They are imprisoned because they do not have the freedom to reason, to, they don't have that liberty to be happy, because there are chains. They are enchained, and it does not allow them to proceed and to act the way they would want. And that is what the Lord came for. This is what happened when he manifested himself. He worked miracles. He taught the gospel. He preached. He made wonderful promises, and people were freed. And today, after so many years, thousands of years, now we have that God. We have the Spirit of God. We have this wonderful promise. We have the Lord with us. He is with us in spirit. But he listens to us. He blesses us. He delivers us. He takes us out of those prisons. He opens our eyes. He takes away our spiritual deafness as well. And he also does, he works those miracles, those physical miracles, and he heals. But that isn't all that's important. What's the most important is the spiritual life, not so much our physical life, our physical life. And it says here, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. The Lord says that not in any moment he would not give his glory or his worship to carved images, to portraits, to images. All of these things, we must flee from all of these things. We must flee. We must keep ourselves. God is spirit. He exists in spirit. We must praise and worship him in spirit. It is enough for you to just close your eyes. If you want to kneel, you can. If you want to raise your hands to cry out to the Lord, go ahead. Close your eyes so that you do not get distracted with what you see before you. So you close your eyes and you cry out to the Lord, and God is there because he is spirit and he is listening to your needs. Be careful with carved images. Be careful with idols. Be careful with images and paintings and portraits and beliefs. Do not go next to a tree or a rock. Do not worship the moon, the stars, or the sun. They are not. God is spirit and truth. And any moment that you close your eyes, you call upon the name of the Lord, and he is attentive and paying attention to you. So it says here, he is jealous. Behold, the former things, I am the Lord. In verse 8, that is my name and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. So when the Lord came, he said, all is done. It is finished. When he was on the cross and he was hanging, he said, it is finished. What was finished? What was finished was everything that had happened in the Old Testament with the people of Israel. What God had told them that they must do, the law of Moses, in order for them to have their life and their blessing. And since no one could, the Lord fulfilled that law in order to annul it and take it off and destroy it and finish it. And so when he was on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. I finished it. I completed it till the end. And now I'm going to take it away, because from now on, there is that new covenant, the new era of salvation, the new method of salvation. That is why he says here, the former things have come to pass and new things I declare, the Lord says. And that is true. The new things that he was declaring was the coming of the Lord and his wonderful work of evangelizing. New things I declare, and that happens because everything that the Lord speaks is fulfilled. And that is why today we are enjoying of this verse. We are enjoying this verse where it says that the former things have come to pass and that he would declare new things. That is what we are enjoying of now. the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the spiritual gifts, the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to have a new life, a new heart, have new acts, doing things better, and walking with God, and one day having everlasting life. Blessed is the name of our God. Therefore, now let us go to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, so now in verse 1, it says, He made alive, He gave us life when we were dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So it says that in the former time, the apostle is speaking of that they used to live in sin and trespasses. They were dead in trespasses and sins, but now the gospel of the Lord was offering everlasting life, happiness to men and women, to beings. And it says that at one point they were like this, walking in sin, but now they have heard the gospel, but now they are enjoying the works of the Holy Spirit. And this is for the obedient, because not everyone is going to receive. And just like in antiquity, not everyone obeyed, not everyone listened. And even today, there are still people who are unbelievers and they do not want to accept or believe. But we are already enjoying of these blessings of God. We are happy. We testify and we tell people the happiness that we receive and we live, and that happiness and hope that we have toward everlasting life. And here in verse 3, it says, among whom, and he's speaking that prince of the power of the air, in verse 2 is speaking of the devil. It says, the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, the spirit of who now works in the sons of disobedience, because those who are disobedient, it's those who are constantly sinning. They are in their sin always. And it says, the one who works in the sons of disobedience is the devil. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So it says that we also came out of there. We also came out of being imprisoned and slaves of the sin and slaves of the devil. And since now that we are free from that prison, and we are teaching those who still have not made the decision to follow this path, this way, we are all here teaching you and telling you that it is beautiful to follow this path, to please accompany us, come on this path, the beautiful path of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, it says. By grace you have been saved. And it says that God, in his mercy, he had mercy, and he used the Lord Jesus Christ to give us that life, that everlasting life. Verse 6, and raised us up together with the Lord, and he resurrected us and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is speaking of the people who convert to God, who have converted to the gospel, the true gospel, and they are enjoying of the guidance of the Spirit of God. They are enjoying of the spiritual gifts in one way or another, the spiritual gifts that are many. And among them, there are the spiritual gifts of healing, of discernment, revelation, dreams, visions, prophecy, and God speaking to each man or woman, making them promises, and always helping them and allowing them to continue forth, and that they may not dismay or falter. And we are experiencing these wonderful things, these blessings. We are inviting those who still have not come to this path yet. And we say as it says in verse 4, but God, in his mercy, loved us and placed the Lord Jesus Christ to give us life. So we also tell you all, accept. Accept and live this path of the true gospel. It's not only just reading the Bible, as many are used to, just reading the Bible and every verse of the Bible, a religion is formed, but we must live those spiritual experiences. We must feel God in our lives, in our being, in our soul, in our heart, to see the hand of God in our lives, to see the miracles and the signs. We need this. When we experience these things, we say, yes, God exists. God is real, and God has manifested himself in my life. And here in verse 7, it says that the Lord, those who have been converted, that we sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that happiness that we experience, those experiences with the Spirit of God, that is what makes us feel that we are in heaven. We are sitting here in the heavenly places. It doesn't have to do with, it doesn't matter that we're still here on earth, because our lives are different and we live experiences that are different from what other people could experience. We are happy. We are in the midst of all of the multitude, but I'm happy. And surely all of the multitude are bitter and sad and filled with spirits and witchcraft and curses. They do not have peace. And I am in the midst of all, and I am happy because I have God. I have peace. That is what this is. We are sitting in those heavenly places. If you are happy with God, if you who have made the decision to follow this path of the Lord, and you have been 5, 10, 20 years in the church, and you say that you are happy and you feel joyful and wanting to continue in the path of the Lord, you are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ. Blessed is the Lord. In verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness, the kindness of God toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. In other words, through believing in Jesus Christ as the only one sent by God, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, and God himself. That is faith, to believe this way. And it says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It says that this is a gift of God. God gives people this gift to believe and to accept the Lord as the only path that leads to everlasting life. God himself manifesting in your life. And if you believe this way and you live this way, that is because God has given you that gift. God has given you that gift. Thanks to God. We must pray and ask the Lord to give people this gift. Those who do not believe, those who have not made that decision to follow the path and the way of the Lord, we must ask the Lord to give them that gift of faith, that gift of believing in Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, the only one that leads us to salvation, to everlasting life, that he is God himself, that God may give them that gift. We know, in order to pray, we have another sound reasoning on how to pray before the Lord to give the gift to those who have not received it yet. And I will read it once again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So we know what faith is. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So not of works as in the law of Moses. This salvation, this blessing of God, we do not receive it through the law of Moses. It says, not of works, not the law of Moses, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship. We are creation of God. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this salvation, this great salvation, did not come through the law of Moses, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who brings salvation. And it says here in verse 11, so now in verse 11, it says, therefore, the apostle says, therefore, allowing us to understand that he's saying, look at everything he did with us, his mercy, the grace, for grace we are saved. It is free. He did not charge us for it, but he gave it to us for free. He just says, open your heart, prepare your heart for my things, and I will enter and dwell in your heart, and I will give you everlasting life. So you must believe. Look at everything that I have done in the world to give happiness and joy. All that I have done, all that the Lord has done. So he says, therefore, after all of this greatness and marvel that God has humbled himself to do for us, it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who did not have a right to anything, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. In other words, the Gentiles were called uncircumcision or uncircumcised because they did not belong to the law of Moses. Since they did not belong to the law of Moses, they said, oh, look, those are the uncircumcised. So it says that circumcision was made in the flesh by hands on the flesh. So it was a small surgery on the male body. And it says here that the Gentiles, all of the nations that did not have the right to salvation, we didn't have a right to live with God or for God, but it was just one people, the exclusive people. But it says here that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do that great work in our lives, to give us that opportunity, to give us that entrance to all of us who were excluded at one point and were called uncircumcised. But now with the Lord Jesus Christ and his true gospel, we are no longer uncircumcised, because truly that circumcision, that physical circumcision that existed, it was a symbol of the spiritual circumcision of today. And today's circumcision is the circumcision of the heart that is prepared for God, prepared to accept the Lord and to follow the way of righteousness, doing good, turning away from sin. When we do these things, then we circumcise ourselves. That is the true circumcision, the spiritual one. And here in verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, speaking of the Gentiles. But now in Christ Jesus, you who the Gentiles, the nations, all of those who did not have the right, it says, who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God. For he himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made both one. So since he is our peace, from both peoples, the people of Israel and the Gentile people that covered, that means all of the other nations, the Lord made one people. In verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And that is true, because we find this in a gospel. I don't know, Luke, where the Lord Jesus said, I have other sheep, because when the Lord was preaching his gospel, when he was on earth as a person, he says, I have another flock. I have other sheep, and I will bring them in as well, and I will gather them, and I am going to make one flock and one shepherd. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I think those of you who have read the Bible remember that verse. John 10? John 10, 16, we are going to read in John 10, 16, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching about the good shepherd. He's saying that he was the good shepherd. He said, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever come before me are saved. And it says here in verse 15, it says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And in verse 16, it says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That is what the Lord says. What, which fold? He was preaching to the Jews at this time. And it says, I have which are other sheep that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, the Gentiles, the other nations. That is who he was referring to. I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Glorified be the name of the Lord. So you see this wonderful work of our Lord. That is why here he is speaking in verse 14 in Ephesians 2. He says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both people, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, and the Gentile people and the other nations, of those two people, he made one and broke down the middle wall, that spiritual middle wall. There was a wall that separated them and separated them from meeting each other. And he broke down that wall, that spiritual wall. It says, broken down the middle wall of separation. How did he do this? With his sacrifice, with the preaching of the gospel, by sending the Holy Spirit to govern us and to teach us, so that the Holy Spirit may guide us, lead us, and live in our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, having abolished, in verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, he eliminated it all. He abolished it all on the cross of Calvary, so as to create in himself, in Christ, one new man from the two, the Israelites, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles, from the two, making one, thus making peace. That is what the Lord did, to gather these people as one. And that is why there is no nation. The Lord now looks at hearts, the hearts of men and women of any nation, of any race, of any color, of any language, of any culture. He looks at the heart that is prepared to love and look for God. Those who say God exists, that is what God sees in today. And in verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So Jesus Christ is the head, and his body is the church, and the church is the gathering. It is made up of men and women of any nation that accept the Lord and do the will of God and worship and praise the Lord. That is the church of God. A church in the spiritual sense. We are the followers of the Lord. We are the body of the Lord. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Those who were near the Jews or the Israelites, for through him we both have access by one. So these two peoples have access by one Spirit to the Father. Thanks be to the Lord. We have one entrance, one access. These two people are one in Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit of God, one God and Father of all, which is all in all. That is one. And we are going to enter that path. through that path, which is one. Blessed is the name of our Lord. Here in verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In antiquity, in the people of Israel, the other nations were called the foreigners. They were called strangers. There are the strangers. A stranger came in. But here with the Lord, in our spiritual lives that we live now with God, thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ, there are no longer strangers or foreigners. We are one people. We are formed by the Spirit of God with one heart, with a heart for God. So you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What a wondrous blessing that we may be fellow citizens of God's family. That is the beautiful thing. We must fight for this. We must be there. Consider ourselves that we are God's family of those who do God's will, those who turn away from sin in order to please God and praises God. That is the family of God. As you can see here, there are no longer family members that are blood. If you have family members that come to church and look for God, then they are your blood family and also they're your family in God. But if your family, your blood family does not come to church and they are your enemies and they are against you and they oppose you and they threaten you because you are of the family of God and they do not want you to be, then you must turn away and forget about your family. Of those who oppose you, those who oppose, because there are family, blood family that do not oppose and they respect. And we must not say anything of them. You don't have to turn away from them because they are respecting you and respecting, let's call it religion, your belief. So they respect that and they love you as your blood family. But there are families that do get angry and they threaten and they take away inheritance and they even try to find people to take away their lives and they mock them and make them and they insult them. And we must flee from those people in order to avoid problems. So we must have that intelligence in order for us to discern. We can also say to distinguish. What must I turn away from and whom must I turn away from and whom am I not going to turn away from? Because if I have my family who respect my things, then I will always try to figure out how am I going to win them for the Lord? How am I going to win them for the Lord? So I must win them for the Lord, my family. I must win them for God, whether it be being well-mannered, being merciful, speaking to them, and I'm not going to insult or criticize or be fanatic or judging or condemning them. No. And the day that they give me the opportunity, I will invite them. And I am going to stay there trying to see in what way I can bring them to church. But to those who have become my enemies and threaten me, then I turn away from them. Whether it be my own blood family, I must turn away. I cannot be there and be exposed to people that are stubborn. So we must have wisdom for everything. We must have wisdom and also be logical with many things because there are people who go to extremes. They go to one or the other extreme. We must be in the middle, always doing things with wisdom. And the Lord says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. No one should say that you are an uncircumcised. We are all fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And in verse 20, having been built on, so apart from being part of the household of God, we are also built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So the apostles who were at that time, the apostles were the ones that Jesus Christ named, who were the prophets in antiquity, those who prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ, of his coming, of his works. And that is the foundation. And we are built on those foundations of the promise of God in antiquity. And later on, when the apostles, when the Lord Jesus Christ authorizes them to begin that evangelizing work. So we have all of this foundation. And it says here, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone of that building, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So it says that the building is being built all the time. It is being constructed and built until the Lord comes in the clouds for his church. And I think that building is already in the clouds, that building, right? We are speaking in earthly terms, but we are speaking of the spiritual, those mysteries that we must believe, but we don't have that logic or that physical theory that people want in order to believe in something. But we know that there is nothing impossible for God. We know that God is in the heavens, sitting on his throne in the highest places. And he's also at the same time with us. So you see the mysteries of God. That is the building of our God that is tall, and it is going to continue to grow, because remember that the building is made of men and women who believe in God, who love God and follow God. Blessed is the Lord. In verse 22, it says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Glory be to our God. And I'm going to read once again in verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, because God deserves it, that we live that life only for him and loving him always and glorifying him. So let us stand, and we are going to be praying to our Lord. Blessed God, Holy Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, everlasting Father, powerful God, our Creator, our owner, we are your creation. We are your children. We are your work. You rescued us. We were imprisoned. We lived in darkness. We were blind and deaf. We had all that was wicked within us, but you gave us life. You have resurrected us. You have cleansed us. You have delivered us. You have brought us to the light. And you are presenting us a world filled with joy, a world filled with happiness, peace, comfort, a world in which you are with us, helping us, accompanying us, comforting us. You guide us and you lead us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, because we are close to you, because when we call upon you, when we speak to you, we make this petition toward you, but you're attentive. And you're attentive to our prayers. Maybe we don't know how to pray. Maybe we don't know how to ask for things, but you listen to us and you help us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you because you allow us to be happy, and you make us happy, and you give us that conviction, and you allow us to know of your existence and to show people and to not feel fear. Because we know with all certainty that you exist, and that you are a powerful God, and that you are a God of mercy and of love for all of those who have a humble heart. Thank you, Lord, because we want to have that God of love. Blessed and praised is your name. I ask in your love and your mercy to expand your powerful hand upon those who are sick, those who are ill, and have physical illnesses. Look at all of these illnesses, all of these diverse and different illnesses. There are so many illnesses and new ones that have come up upon humanity, that it may be you expanding your hand upon the brothers and sisters who are sick, the elderly, the children, those who are new, those who are listening, those who are here for the first time that have needs. Expand your, extend your powerful hand upon them and work miracles as you always have, healing each one and cleansing each one and delivering each one, breaking chains, taking away all binds and works of the enemy. Also take away spirits of witchcraft and curses and all of those unclean spirits that bind many people, that come and disturb and torment people in their dreams. Destroy and cast away all evil spirit and take away all envy of the devil against us. Deliver us and protect us and keep us. Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, with your powerful hand, that your powerful hand may give blessings to all. Blessed Lord, and I ask you in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord. May the glory and the honor be for our God. Let us sing chorus 12, The Joy of the Lord.
Del Señor mi fortaleza es el gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es el gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es y su gozo sin medida él me da si tienes ese gozo puedes tú cantar si tienes ese gozo puedes tú danzar si tienes ese gozo, puedes tú gritar. Y su gozo sin medida Él te da. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. Y su gozo sin medida Él me da. Si tienes ese gozo, puedes tú cantar. Si tienes ese gozo, puedes tú danzar. Si tienes ese gozo, puedes tú gritar. Y su gozo sin medida Él te da.
May the glory be for our God. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Hugs for all of you and kisses for the children. And see you soon. Thank you, brothers and sisters.